I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show number 80. Seen on BartCop.com, heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks. Oh, you're in for a treat today. Show 80 is so jam-packed, I don't know if it's going to fit it. We're going to try to fit all of it in that we can. We're going to stretch the limits of the CD. It might be a little bigger, but if we make it too big, it won't fit in your players. We can't have that. But so much to talk about. Let me give you a clue what we're going to get into. Going to have to talk about the evils of oil, because oil's causing a whole lot of troubles, mostly because of the illegal monkey who's on this worldwide murder spree to steal more oil. Going to talk about that general that was fired. Now, we mentioned this on the page, but we got a whole different new take on it on the radio, because as you know, we don't repeat. We're going to be the first ones to handicap the 2008 race. I think I got a good idea who's going to run. I got advice for how he or she can win. And they better listen to me this time. They didn't listen in 2000. They didn't listen in 2004. And what did we get? Heartache. So would you listen to me this time, Democrats? Or do you just not want to win? Going to talk a little bit about Homeland Security. That Michael Chertoff was telling a bunch of lies. I have to straighten him out. We're going to talk about this intelligent design, which is a hand job rehash of the same old evolution crap that was disproved, what was it, in the 20s, 1927? But since Bush is in charge, we're going backwards, you're going to have to rehash the same old crap that you thought we put away 80 years ago. That's what happens when you go backwards. We're also going to talk a little bit about this Jeanine Pirro, whose campaign against Hillary may have already self-destructed by the... I'm recording as fast as I can, but this crazy bitch is about to blow up, and I'm trying to get this in the can before she ruins her whole campaign and they put some other guy... Seems like Nixon's son-in-law is going to run against her in the primary, see who can lose to Hillary. Oh, how exciting. Got a phone call about Joe Lieberman, who needs to be slapped again and again. Also, we got a letter to the editor, and all that's just in the first half of today's show. Second half is jam-packed with comedy. Will we have room for all the comedy? I just don't know. We're going to try to make it happen. How do we get it started? Same as usual. Shot Ochinako. Where would we be without our Chinako?
This is www.bartcop.com.
Non-sticker of surfaces. Yes, energy is clearly an important topic with Americans. That's why before going on recess, Congress broke a four-year impasse by approving a massive energy bill. And while it did nothing to address our dependence on foreign oil, or fuel efficiency, or in any way simplify the strategic nature of our relationship with the Middle East, it does give oil and gas industries $500 million for research and $2.7 billion in tax breaks. Even though a company like ExxonMobil made $7.6 billion in pure profit just this past quarter. And by quarter, I mean 3 months.
Bush is giving our taxpayer money away to the billionaires who made $7 billion profit in 90 days. And the Democrats can't figure out if that might be a political issue or not. If you saw Paige last few days, Tally sent me a picture from Long Beach. Gas is, what, $3.59, $3.69 there? And the oil companies are making $7 billion in 90 days, and Bush gave them a couple of billion more? and we can't afford to fill up our tank, and Bush is giving billions more to the people with all the billions, $7 billion in 90 days, that's a lot of money. That's $30 billion a year. $30 billion with a B. That's almost as much money as Bush is stealing from Iraq. And Bush is taking our taxpayer money and giving it to the super billionaires. And the Democrats are saying, oh, I wonder what the issues will be. Gee, Bush is doing such a great job, I can't think of anything I can attack him on. You know what we need to do? Swear to God, we need to get a groundswell movement going to put me in charge of the Democratic Party. I'm not saying our dean's doing a bad job, but where is he? Last time he opened his mouth, every prominent Democrat smacked him around the room and said, he doesn't speak for me. Go to hell, Howard Dean. What's wrong with you attacking godly Bush with your crazy ideas? That's how the Democrats treat their own. You know what would happen to a Democrat that did that to me in public? You can say what you want behind closed doors. Oh, I pity the Democratic fool who grabs a microphone and goes on about what an idiot radical bark cop is when they kept silent when Bush gave the billions away to the people who just made $7 billion in 90 days. They didn't make that money. They stole it. It's a monopoly. You don't get to do that. When there's a hurricane, you don't get to go to Florida and sell batteries for $30 a piece. You don't get to go down there and sell a bag of ice for $100 a piece. You don't get to do that. Unless the president is a crook who's in on this scheme with you. But the Democrats can't figure that out. Oh, no. If I was the head of the Democrats, they'd say, oh, that Bart, he's out for trouble. Well, you don't speak for me. Well, hey, maybe you need to leave the party if I don't speak for you. Maybe you are in the wrong party. Maybe you just lost your way. Maybe you need to find a party that agrees with you, like maybe the GOP. Maybe you need to go religio crazy and join up with the other religio crazies and let the people who believe in the science and logic deal with these matters that affect hundreds of millions of lives in the United States. Is that too much to ask of you, Democrats? Could you stand the fuck up just once?
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement, or waiting on death row. You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer too. Oh, the guns of Brixton. Money feels good, and your life, you like it well. Surely your time will come, as in heaven, as in hell. You see, he feels like Ivan, born under the Brixton sun. His game is called surviving.
Mentioned this on the page, but we're going to get into a different aspect of this general who lost his job over his romance. Let's see, it says, the four-star Army general who was fired this week had been romantically involved with a civilian woman while separated from his wife, his attorney said Wednesday. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Robinson, the attorney for General Kevin Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S, said the woman was not connected to the military and the relationship has ended. He challenged the severity of the punishment for Burns, 52, who was 3 months from retirement when he was fired as head of the training and doctrine command after 36 years. Now, what is going on here? When this was on the page, this, I think, semi-wild conspiracy theory came in about, on the morning of 9/11, there were some people at the NORAD Center, and something was going on. There was some kind of training exercise scheduled for that day, and I don't know the whole story, but I wish somebody You know, it's like a whole lot of things, and this is true, something you need to keep in mind. If someone can't put their idea into a paragraph, then they don't have an idea. Now, that's real damn important. You got to remember that, because anytime you talk about Bush or the $100 million a day, or did they steal the election, or who was really behind 9/11 and how the towers fell, any kind of big conspiracy idea like that that you ever hear about, if you can't put it into a paragraph, then you don't have a story. You need to keep working. You need to go back and do some more digging and come up with some facts. Or you don't. If your idea of answering a question is to send somebody a link, that means you don't have the answer. So we got to keep remembering that. But anyway, something was going on the morning of 9/11. And apparently, similarly, something was going on in London the day they got hit. Now, whenever you try to read about this, again, they cannot put whatever was going on in a paragraph. If they could, then I could broadcast it. I could put it on the page and we could talk about it and we could, you know, demand an answer. I don't know from whom we would demand an answer, but it would be nice if somebody could put their conspiracy in a paragraph that can be understood. If you can't put it in a paragraph that can be understood, then why are you bothering with it? You're masturbating. It's all you're doing. If it makes you feel good to do it, then do it. But all these I know the truth about 9/11 pages, you know, show me some proof that I can put in my hand. Show me a paragraph that I can understand and repeat. Now you got something. But until you do, you don't. So on this general, the rumor was that he uncovered some kind of nuclear, it's in the back pages, I don't know when it was, somewhere around 1595, 1598, somewhere in there, that this general uncovered some kind of plot involving an American city and a nuclear bomb going off. And that if they had this exercise training thing in place on 9/11 and on July 7th in London, and they have another one of these set up, that we can expect a terrorist attack that day. But see, why can't you put that in a paragraph? If you can say, X was going on 9/11, and look what happened. X was going on July 7th, and look what happened. They've got an X scheduled for, you know, whatever, January 3rd. So if you put that in print before January 3rd, and a bomb goes off January 3rd, then you said, I told you so, I predicted it, the proof is on the page, go look at it, it's right there, check the date, I guess somehow there you can check the date of when a thing went up, but people don't have that. They only claim they have that. So, okay, now take all that I've been talking about, wrap it up in a little package, and put it over here, because we're going to change the subject. Still talking about this general, though. This guy, 36 years he's been with the military, and after 36 years, after the relationship was over, and actually, I believe, after his divorce was final, I think his divorce was final on a Monday, and on Tuesday, I believe, they charged him with this. And so what have they done? They've ruined this general. Maybe he deserves it. Maybe he's a bad guy. Maybe he flaunted it. Maybe he took this girlfriend to the general's dinner. I don't know what happened. But what is another reason to fire this guy? And I'm thinking one reason could have been they can't pass up a chance to screw with Clinton. They just can't do it. There's just too much there. If someone in the Bush administration either mentioned Clinton or sets of a situation where Clinton will be brought into the conversation, they know that the whores at Fox News and CNN and all everybody else, they're just going to go crazy with it, and they're going to change the subject from the war, from Cindy Sheehan, they're going to change all that. Let's talk about Clinton's cock again, because they know that's money in the bank big time. They know they can get coast-to-coast front-page headlines, Clinton's cock, Clinton's cock, Clinton's cock. That's the biggest thing in the history of American journalism, and don't you dare try to disagree with that. But that's what I'm talking about with this lawyer. Why did he lose his job? Because if there was some outrage, people say, why did he lose his job when Clinton didn't lose his, like as if Clinton was in the service? I mean, yes, he was commander-in-chief, but you don't demote a president. You know, first of all, he's got no superior officers, so who's going to demote him? But I believe this general's career was sacrificed because Karl Rove thought it would be a good idea to bring up Clinton's cock. So let's make as much headline as we can over this general. Let's ruin this general's life. This guy, 36 years. And, you know, I've never fallen out of love. But, you know, the idea, I can concede that marriages crumble. I mean, if you don't concede that, you're crazy. So But after giving the army or the whatever 36 years, they bust this guy after the fact. Now, see, why in the hell wouldn't you tell the guy, dude, we know you're dating this woman. We're going to give you 24 hours to break it off. That's it. If starting tomorrow, if you are seen with this woman, if you're ever with her, you will lose your command. Now, that would make a lot more sense than after he breaks up with her, after his divorce is final, then go in and ruin the guy's career. I mean, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to publicize that? You know, give the army 36 years, and if you end up falling in love with someone, if you slip, if you have an affair, if your heart takes over and overrules your brain, I've never had an affair, so I don't know, but again, I understand it happens. But if that happens to you, your 36 years go down the drain? Oh, it's just kind of amazing, but I'm pretty sure if the conspiracy stuff is not true, they had to have a reason to want to bust this guy. And you kind of figure this went all the way to the top, wouldn't you? I mean, in the middle of a war where we're losing people and they're unable to make their recruiting goals, to do this to a four-star general, it just makes you wonder. But if it would change the subject, if it would make Clinton look guilty, if it would bring Clinton's cock back into the conversation, that is money in the bank. Karl Rove knows that. The networks know that. If they have a chance to bring up Clinton's cock, that's just gold. It's just being handed a blank check. And if you're a dirty, scummy media whore and you get handed a blank check, you're going to start writing big numbers on it. And that's what I think is the deal with this general. And before we close up, if you disagree about this conspiracy stuff, don't call me names. Don't send me links. Just use your damn head for a second on this conspiracy stuff. If you can't put it into a paragraph, it doesn't exist. Now, that's going to be true from now on. So think about that. Before you promote any kind of conspiracy theory, if you can't personally put it in your own words in a paragraph, then you ain't got nothing.
There's been a lot of talk about his next song. The song is not a rebel song. The song is Sunday. I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes and make it go away. Come on. Let's sing this song.
Sunday.
I've been taking lots and lots of crap for backing Hillary. I think a Hillary Clark ticket would be the best winner for us, or a Clark Hillary ticket. Either way, I would be satisfied with that. But I get a whole lot of crap for backing Hillary. But funny that America thinks like I do. And I think it probably pisses a lot of people off. The people that hate Hillary, oh, and they're about half the Democrats, just hate Hillary's guts. I don't know why. I don't know why they hate her. She was part of the team that brought us the most peace and prosperity that we ever had in our history. But some people just hate her effing guts. And so I'm looking at a brand new Gallup poll. And, well, let's do the Democrats first. Hillary right now has 41%. 41% of registered voters, is that what it is? Whatever. 41% of Democrats, they like Hillary. 16% like John Kerry. I think Kerry's dead. I think his future is dead. I don't think anybody wants to see him run again. Because he's just going to be the same swift boat coward. And, you know, if he couldn't fight back then, now his reputation, his tar has been cemented to him. That's locked onto him for life. So I don't think we can do John Kerry. Same for John Edwards. It was his job to be the attacker in that last election. Did you hear any attacks out of John Edwards? And again, we don't know how much of that was Kerry saying, no, my team will not attack. What an idiot. This guy's been to war, and his strategy is not to attack. When being attacked, whatever you do, don't return fire. How in the hell was he really in a war? Did he really go to Vietnam? And now he's living his life under the idea that if you're attacked, don't return fire? How is that possible, John? Can you explain yourself? Okay, number four, Joe Biden at 8%. Please. Oh, my God. Do you see one reason why I like Hillary? Because Kerry and Edwards, we know, are failures. That we know they won't fight back. Joe Biden is coming in after that? Joe Biden? Are you kidding? Wes Clark comes in number five with 5%. There you go. We got two winners on this list. One of them's Hillary, one of them's Clark. Number three is Bill Richardson, who I'm going to have to beat up probably in this show. I got an article that if I can get to it, Bill, you're a bad, bad man. We don't like you anymore. Used to like you. Next on the list, Evan Bay, who don't know a lot about him. He hadn't done much. He's in, I think, Indiana, one of those places. Of course, if you can survive in Indiana, Indiana's where they, as you know, when Oklahoma throws a KKK rally, they import their KKK from Indiana. That's how Republican Indiana is. So if he's a survivor there, maybe he's half decent. But I remember him taking some stands I did not like, so I sure don't have a lot of love for Evan Bay, mostly because I don't know him. And next is Mark Warner, who I can't even tell you who that is. There's a Senator John Warner, who is a much less fascist than some Republican, but I don't even know who Mark Warner is. So the people who attack me for liking Hillary in this race, well, you know, me and America like Hillary. Well, she's got 41%. That's in an eight-way or nine-way field. That's a damn impressive number. 41% in a nine-person field, that's damn impressive. Now, let's mention a couple of Republicans. And this is so stupid. USA Today, how can anybody be this stupid? The poll for the USA Today, the number one guy the Republicans picked is Giuliani. He's pro-choice and anti-gun. How in the world we're not going to see a pro-choice Republican. It's not going to happen. Why doesn't everybody admit that up front? Or is he just going to change his mind like Bush the Smarter did? Remember, Bush the Smarter was pro-choice, and then he had a meeting with Reagan in 1980, and Reagan said, I'll let you on the ticket, but you got to screw those women over. And Bush said, hey, fuck those women. They're stupid anyway. They don't deserve their rights. So, boom. Bush went from pro-choice to anti-choice in about 2 hours. Amazing. So is Giuliani going to do that? Is he going to pull a Dennis Miller? Is he going to take his lifelong principles, his decades of being pro-choice, and just say, screw it, I want to be president, so screw what I believe in. I'm changing my mind because I want to be president. I don't know how that'll fly. Number two, John McCain. I can't see McCain getting the nod either. The Bush people do not like McCain. And they're going to be running the process, even though Bush is a lame duck. They've got the oil companies and the big corporations, and that entire BFEE structure is going to pick the next president. Well, hopefully all they're going to pick is their nominee, but if the Democrats refuse to fight back, and I think Hillary will fight back, it's another reason why you got to be pro-Hillary. Can you see Hillary sitting there and taking it time after time, day after day, like Gore and Kerry did. I can't see her doing that. And what in the world is wrong with McCain? Can you believe after Bush called him a coward and a crazy man who, you know, he lost his mind and betrayed his soldiers in Vietnam and he has a little black baby? I mean, after they did that to him, he still loves Bush. He'll stand there with Bush. Bush is a great man. Bush is doing great in the war. Bush knows what he's doing. Bush is my man. He's doing all that under the idiotic assumption that they're going to pay him back and make him president. John, it's not going to happen. You're being extra stupid, John. Remember the Plain Speaking Express or whatever that was? You had a bus called the Plain Talk Express, something like that. And you told the truth in 2000. And then Bush fucked you over, and now you've become a Bush mouthpiece. You gave up your integrity, John. There was people on both sides that liked you in 2000. But no, you just threw it all away under the idiotic assumption that Bush is going to let you be president. John, you're stupid. We can't let someone that stupid be president again. So we got Giuliani, not a chance. We got McCain, not a chance. Condoleezza Rice, are you kidding? Oh, by the way, the number is Giuliani, 28%, McCain, 24%. Condi Rice comes in third with 18%. Can you believe Condi Rice, who's never won an election in her life? And surely her number's got to be below that of Smirk. She's another one of these, well, you know her position on the war. The war makes sense. We're winning the war. They hate us for our freedoms. That's Condi Rice. Can you really win an election that way? Next on the list is Bill Frist, who is, I think, the first possible guy of this pack. But then again, he came out for medical sanity when it comes to these stem cells, and the religious right now hates him, so he's not going to be it. So who we got left? Mitt Romney. What's wrong with you people in Massachusetts that you elected a Republican to be your governor? I forgot who he ran against. I don't know. And maybe the Democrat was such a skunk you had to go with the Republican. But aren't there supposed to be some liberals in Massachusetts? How did you elect this guy governor? After that is Pataki, who I believe is also pro-choice. How's that going to work? How do you throw away? Now, I can see a vice president getting away with betraying the women. When Bush said, screw those women, I want to be part of the team, in his mind, he had to do that because he never would have gotten to the $100 million a day unless he made that decision back then. So that kind of makes sense. I think you can have a vice president change his mind and say, screw those women. I don't think the guy at the top of the ticket can change his mind because he's running for the office. So I think Pataki's out. Next on their list is George Allen and Sam Brownback. Don't know enough about either of them to even make a stab at it. So basically, we've got nobody. The closest, in my opinion, as of August, as of about 27 months ahead of the race, the only guy on this list that has a chance, I think, is Mitt Romney. So if the Democrats had any brains, and should I bother to finish that sentence, they would start doing some research on Mitt Romney right now. But no, the Democrats are going to wait. They don't want to plan ahead. They don't want to win. They don't want to fight. They're just going to wait. And if Mitt Romney turns out to be the guy, then they'll ask around, anyone got any dirt on Romney? And then when they say no, then they'll stop looking and say, well, he must be a good guy. But right now, in my opinion, 27 months out, Mitt Romney is the only guy, the only Republican who's got a chance to be president. And Hillary's got the best chance of the Democrats. Do you agree or do you disagree? I'd like to hear from you on that.
President Bush has heralded the sacrifice of the fallen. His words were met with anger today and questions about the politics of syntax. Here's Mark Noller.
killed her son. W killed her.
Led by the mother of a U.S. soldier killed in Iraq, some 50 protesters today tried to take their pain and anger to the president at his ranch.
He took something away from me that's irreplaceable. He's going on a 5-week vacation and we're in the middle of war. And I'm never going to be able to enjoy another vacation because he killed my oldest son.
As you told us,
the passion of their message reflects the polarizing effects of war and maybe why some in the administration tried over the last several weeks to call the conflict something else.
I think I've objected to the use of the term war on terrorism before because, one, if you call it a war, then you think of people in uniform as being the solution.
As our country wages the global struggle against the enemies of freedom.
But when the effort to rebrand the war only fueled late-night comics, the president on Wednesday made sure everyone, everywhere, knew what he was calling it.
Make no mistake about it. We are at war.
And not just once, but more than a dozen times in a 47-minute speech.
We're at war. We're facing an enemy that... To win this war on terror, this war is against killers who hide. We're at war.
Professor James Thurber of American University thinks the name game by the administration shows a struggle to sell a war that's becoming more unpopular.
I think the president, at this point, wants to get stronger support from the American public. I think he thinks if he says that we're at war, that he'll get more support.
Both the protesters and the president agree that war is the right word. But under the Constitution, only Congress can declare war.
Windmill, windmill for the land, the forever hand in hand. Take it all in on your stride, it is taking for only land. Love forever, love is free, let's turn forever, you and me. Windmill, windmill for the land, it's everybody in.
We'll be right back with Bart Cop Radio.
Watch me as I gravitate.